The anointing was allowed only once for any illness because of the tie-over with the penance, which had the tradition of being allowed only once. Penance then reemerges as its own separate sacrament that people went to very frequently. But the effect stayed on with the sacrament of the anointing, and it continued for about 1,000 years to be offered only to the dying, with the feeling that they could only receive it once for any major illness. Now we're pretty well, this generation of people is in the process of dying, but if you have your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, your mother, your father, and they become ill and they're Catholic, don't just call the priest in easily to anoint them. Because they may feel the moment the priest walks in that that means they're dead. They may not understand that this sacrament has changed. Now, some priests are preaching it, and we do it, I think, very well here. But some of our shut-ins may not know this. In other churches, it's not being preached at all. And you, when a priest walks in, that's a way of telling somebody, an old Catholic, that they're dying. So you better let them know. Like, I went to see someone in Lawton, and thank goodness I knew this. She was born in Poland, raised in Germany, and a very, very old Catholic, and had a bad heart. Well, we had to prepare her for me to walk in the room. We thought her daughter really was afraid it would kill her. And then I did nothing the first trip at all. And kind of, you know, just talked with her and didn't anything at all. Just said, hey, I'd like to come back in about a week or two. Would you mind if I came back with communion? And then, I'd like to come back in a week or two after that. You know, we now have the sacrament of the anointing. You can get it as often as you want. You think it might not, you know, you think I can come and bring him to you. That was the only way to prepare her for it. Because otherwise, she might have given up the will to live when she had every reason to live. She had nothing, she had a bad heart, but that's all. And she lived, she's still alive as far as I know, and that'd be 4 years now. From now, she's gone back to Germany. That's where her family moved out of Poland into Germany, and is still doing well. So you got to be careful. Recently, this sacrament has been restored to what it was before. When it became extreme unction, it kept the forgiveness part. That was the biggest thing. We stopped really believing in healing, and we put a body healing, and we put all of the accent on forgiving. And this became a sacrament to prepare people to die, and it was a way to, you know, to kind of get forgiveness for those who were dying. The way I kind of like to describe it in my own, I got a sick little mind. You kind of oiled them down so they could slide through the pearly gates, whether they had sins or not, you know. The gates were shut, and they slide right in there. Peter couldn't get his hands around them to stop them from running in. That it never has been in the imagery, but it is in mine. I just got a weird mind, I'm sorry, but that's how we saw it. It was basically for forgiveness to get them to heaven when they die. Today it has become a sacrament of anointing, praying for help, mainly. Well, it's a two things. Now, the whole attitude toward healing, not just in this sacrament, in many ways is going to reflect our attitude to God. And a lot of us need to work on it. Why should there be healing? Most of my life as a priest, I believed in rare instances of healing of physical diseases. The Catholic Church has always had it, that we've required it for miracles. But they came very rarely. And I believe they were done for others. I don't believe that at all anymore. And I think that is a very bad view in what it tells me about God. That saying that God will heal you so that I'll believe, and that means that God is using you. And that's the cruelest thing that can be done. Today, I believe, from my own experience that God heals for a very simple reason, and that's because He loves. He's a father. You have someone close to you. Your mother's in pain. Don't you cry out to take away that pain? And we don't love as perfectly as God. God sent Jesus to heal. I believe that's the mission of Jesus. And the preaching and the teaching are ways to help you and me accept the healing, because God will respect our freedom. And if Jesus healed without our freedom, we would fear God, and love and fear can't go together. So a God who is all love comes to heal only with the route of love. But Jesus is in your life at this moment to heal you. He's not doing it to impress me. He's doing it because the Father cares in your suffering. Now, what is healed? Why does God heal? Why is there healing? Because God loves. What does God heal? Most Christians gonna go to the triple division in the Bible because it's better. Spirit, that's the area where God touches us. When there's sin, we don't experience God touching us. Most Christians will accept the fact that Jesus came to heal the spirit. Well, most Christians should say, Catholics have been, will probably be the weaker ones here, that everybody is healed in their spirit. We are all redeemed. Each of us received the gift of the Spirit of Jesus. So, this is all. How about the soul? Now that would be our awareness, the areas where we have fears and guilt. Does Jesus come to heal that? I believe that most of us would say that Jesus wants to heal all of this. So He wants to heal all. And He can't do it automatically. This is the area where we've got to start allowing Him to heal us. Now how about the body? I feel that most Christians do not believe that Jesus wants to heal the body, except for a very few. I would also feel, if I could put a footnote, that most of us would feel, but not me now. And that's the great tragedy. Jesus, going back to the soul, Jesus wants to take away guilt and fears of everybody, but He isn't ready to do it for me right now. In other words, we don't really believe. It's simple for me to believe that Jesus is going to do it for you. It's hard for me to believe that Jesus is really going to do it for me. It's sad that in so much we don't have specific praying that Jesus would take away guilt and fears. We talk about, you know, in Christian communities, will people come forth to be prayed over that Jesus will take away their sin. But, you know, people who generally come to the church are coming because something's happening bad very, very often in their life. And it isn't sin that's happening. It's guilt, it's fear, it's tension, it's family problems. And these aren't really prayed for in a deep, in a very real way very often. That we would really pray that Jesus would look at you and take away your guilt. That you'd be able to walk out of here free. Not only the guilts of your life, but the guilts that others have brought into your lives. You know, this guilt, whatever would be this in my own life that would make me feel that if I can't be everything to everybody, I feel guilt. That I can't literally be in four homes at the same time with four crises, and so I'm sitting there feeling guilt. Well, there's something in my life that caused that. And Jesus wants to remove it. But where do you find churches praying that those parts of people's lives will be touched? There is such a thing going on in, certainly in the charismatic movement, and periodically you'll hear references to it. This is called inner healing, or healing of memory. And it's a very important thing to bring the love of Jesus in to touch the hurts in our memory. Because He does want to heal those hurts, all the pain. and to round them out with love. Jimmy Carter's sister, President Carter's sister, Ruth Carter Stapleton, has a book out titled, I think it's Inner Healing, that is fabulous on this. And she gives some very good techniques. She's just published a second one, and I haven't read it yet, so I can't recommend it. But this one, Inner Healing, her name is Stapleton, and it's very easily read, and she tells you how to use your imagination to bring Jesus into your imagination to heal your hurts. Like if your dad really hurt you one day, if you really hurt your mom. I've got a memory of making my mother break down completely crying out of pure selfishness on my part. And that memory I can bring Jesus into and change that memory so that the pain is gone, and to fill it out with love. And she gives very, very solid advice on how that can be done. Jesus wants to heal our souls, our awareness. He doesn't want us sitting here tense and guilt-filled. But organized religion, just, you know, we're just a shade above thinking that Jesus wants to do all this faith healing. Put your hand where it hurts and shout hallelujah, and Jesus is going to heal it. Well, that's for the, you know, that's for the tents and the revivals. And that's exactly what's happened. Most of this real healing, because our Father loves. First, let me tell you why. God did not make you spirit. And he didn't make you spirit and soul. He made you you. And a funny thing about you, if you're like me, you got a body. God doesn't love just two parts of me. God saw what he has made, and that was the physical universe that was done. And it was good. And when he made man, it was very good. And that's all of us. So his love includes all of us. I'm an entire being. And he doesn't separate and say, well, I love the spirit soul part of him, but boy, that body part sure lousy. Can't give him any love there. Sure goofed when I made that. I wonder where I got that pattern from. You know, I threw those plans out. I ain't ever going to make that again. That isn't the way God works. He loves you. So what does God heal you? And when the organized churches take the healing power of Jesus and put it almost exclusively on spirit, a little bit on soul, you can't stop God's love. God sent Jesus to heal. And if this healing won't be offered, body, soul, spirit, in the organized churches, it's going to be done outside them. And there will be kooks healing. It doesn't make any difference. The kooks aren't healing. Our Father is healing. And he's touching his children's body because they're suffering. And the great tragedy is that many who know his love restrict his love so that it isn't being offered in the full areas where it can be expressed. Who will be healed? You know, why heal? Because our Father loves. What's healed? Body, soul, and spirit. Who will be healed? Now, there's a certain mystery to this one. And I don't have anything from my own experience I can share. I don't really know what's going on here, okay? God will heal everybody in their spirit. That's done already in Jesus. The Father looks to us, and his love is within us. As far as our knowing that, now that's redemption, so we are all redeemed. Knowing this and living it and experiencing the peace of this is being saved. We're not all saved. I've got to believe in Jesus. The gift shalom has been offered all of us, so God wants every one of us to experience healing of soul. It's not a monopoly for a select few. Jesus says, peace I leave you. And what's going to be healing of soul? My awareness. To experience peace. Let all my relationships be correct. Jesus has given me this. But that's the one I've got to believe in Jesus to make real in my life. That old distinction between being a millionaire and believing I'm a millionaire. I can be a millionaire, and if I think I'm poor, it does me no good. I can have all this healing, but if I think I'm still filled with guilt, if I'm still claiming my own failures, then I'm going to be laden down with them. I'm going to have to learn how to walk to discover this. So God wants definitely everybody to be healed in their soul, but we've got to believe in Jesus to experience it. And that's the mission of the church, to carry that message. This is the one I don't know about, body. All of us have to die. It's the way to experience the final freedom of the Spirit. Everybody born is going to die. So you can't pray forever that a person's body's going to be healed. Or how they're going to die. I don't understand this. I have not seen somebody work it out in a way that makes sense to me. We're all going to have to die of something. So in a sense, body healing is going to have to stop for everybody at some point. But yet I also know that our Father does want body healing, and it's going on. And I don't have an answer on that. I know that He wants much more healing than we believe in. Much healing is connected, incidentally, with soul and spirit, much body healing. We'll get to this in a moment. How does healing occur? Healing occurs in Jesus. Jesus is healing, not a thing, not an evangelist, not a sacrament. It is Jesus who is healing, wholeness, order coming into the disorder of our lives. We're completely at total disorder in our spirit. There's no goodness there. Jesus brings all of His order and God's at peace with us. We have trouble accepting ourselves. We have guilt from the world. We have disorder, clash, and it's all a mess. And we can look at ourselves and say, hey, Jesus loves me. I'm His beloved. And I've got His Spirit. And I can start being proud of what I am. And peace can start coming in. Jesus is healing, and the church is supposed to be His instrument. The mission of Jesus is to heal. We're supposed to exist, therefore, to announce this healing. We've shared a little bit about this, and I want to repeat this idea. Since Jesus is healing, what is Jesus? He's the word of love that our Father speaks. Therefore, love heals. Let's remember, then, that love in a community is necessary. This is how healing occurs. Jesus is the one who heals. The church exists for this purpose. And it sets up a specific sacrament to touch the body. But the amount of healing that's going to be existing in Enid, when the sacrament of the anointing is administered, the amount of people who are going to feel physical healing, I believe depends upon how much love there is in St. Francis Parish. And I'm not saying that on my own. Abbot David, an abbot of a Benedictine monastery in New Mexico, where for 2 years in a row I went to make retreats, says this. He claims, now they've been building a community there, that there is as much healing in his community as there is love, as the community really cares for one another. My second year there, he said they've experienced more healing that last year than they did in all the years before. He didn't mention this the previous year, so it isn't a line he keeps passing out. And he said the reason was he felt finally this year they really cared for one another. And so love started really healing. There's nothing automatic. Jesus isn't a thing. Our Father sends His love, and His love is Jesus to heal in our world. And we are to be His body, which means we're supposed to care for one another. Now, if I don't care for you, then I'm sort of binding the power of Jesus. It'll work in extraordinary ways in other areas. But there's no magic outside of that. And please don't feel that the sacrament is an excuse for our loving. I shared this before. You know someone who's sick and they're going to the hospital? You want to heal their body? Don't call the priest to come and see them. That's nice to do, and it would be great. If they have children, ask if you could take one of the children. Ask if you could wash some clothes while they're in the hospital. Promise to cook a soup and take it over when she gets out. That's healing her body. You know, a woman who's had major surgery can't wash. If she's got to do a wash, it's going to hurt her. You do the wash for her, and you're bringing physical healing in. You take one of her children, and she doesn't have as much to worry about. And there's no doubt about it. The less worries a person has, the faster they recover physically. You call the priest in to anoint, and that's a good way for a community to escape its responsibility. I told you that story, and I want to repeat it about this friend of mine, the alcoholic. And two friends drove her to an alcoholic rehabilitation place, and she had two kids, 5 and 7 years old. They just drove her there, and they drove back, and it's a 30-day program. And one of them called me up the next day, climbing a wall. What are we going to do? We got two kids. We might have to keep them for 30 days. We don't know if her family's going to claim them or anybody else. This woman was going bananas. That's okay. That's human. But she was enabling the first woman to experience body healing. That's love. That's not talk. That's not prayer. That's the kind of common unity, the real commitment. And where you got this? Then when the priest comes in, who expresses, he's speaking for the whole community, and he prays over the person and anoints, the power of Jesus is going to run through that community and through that sacrament. And there will be physical healings, and this is what Abbot David is experiencing in his community. And just to show you the degree, he said he didn't understand why, but it was happening particularly to vision. There were miracles of people, eye problems. It was the particular way that this healing in this 1 year was really showing up. And it'll often happen in stuff like that. So, first, why heal? Why is there healing? Because our Father loves. What is healed? Body, soul, and spirit. With a mystery to sometimes about the body. Who heals? Jesus. How does he do it? Through his church, through the sacraments, but they're not escapes for our responsibility. Love is needed. Healing occurs through love. And we've got to be instruments of that love. We are the body of Christ bringing that love to the suffering today. Now, there can be barriers within a person to healing. And the simplest one to point out is resentment. This is so simple. And all the books on healing now will point this out. After all, we've been talking about Jesus' love. We want Jesus to come into our hearts to heal us. But supposing I'm hanging on to a resentment. How can I possibly have love come in when I'm hating? My hanging on to hatred is blocking out love, and I can't experience healing. And this, I just read a priest, and these aren't kooks writing, a priest who feels, I guess he would say 8 or 9 out of 10 cases of cancer, if you go back far enough, you're going to find an unforgiven resentment that they're hanging on to somewhere. It's as sad as that in their lives very, very often. And that's what you have to get at. If you can go to the person and talk with them long enough and they're really willing to share and they bring that resentment out and be willing to get rid of it, then love can pour in and things can start happening in their life. And this is so real. First, you just hang on to a deep resentment. And just picture what it affects. It affects your peace. You can get an ulcer. Your blood pressure is going to go up. I don't know about you, but this is what happens when I resent very strongly. My stomach gets all churned up. I don't have much peace. Well, you can have a stroke. You can have so many things just from, any willing hanging on to something that would block out love, but especially resentment will do it. And when a community is consciously nursing its resentments, it's just going to be nearly impossible for the Spirit of Jesus to come through. Sometimes healing occurs in ways I hadn't read this. Father Lang, I've quoted him once or twice already. He brought this up. I never thought of this. For a healing to occur, strange things are going to happen. You may have an ulcer. And you come and you ask to be prayed over and anointed. And the next day you lose your job. And you might be furious, but it might be the Lord healing you. Your job might be causing the ulcer. And the only way to get rid of the ulcer is to get rid of the cause. So you get fired from your job. Now the pressure is gone and the ulcer might go. Very often, so with healings, there's something else in there that we've got to get rid of, and as I shared, most especially resentment. Because we're talking about the action of Jesus. We've got to believe that Jesus wants to heal, and we've got to be involved in that healing. We have this in a very nice way. Periodically, we have real actions of the sacrament of anointing administered to our people here in this parish. I feel a little bit bad sometimes when we do. We do it, for example, on a Sunday. Last time, we didn't do it on a Sunday. We did it a Sunday evening. Really should be done at a Sunday Mass. But what hurts me is sometimes you don't get much support out of the rest of the people. The people in those pews have a real interest in the ones being anointed. We've got to care. What I'm saying is, you know, we're the sign of Jesus, who is this love. And if I'm just sitting back doing nothing, wishing the crowd weren't so long, so the Mass wouldn't be so long, you know, wish there weren't so many sick. Boy, it looks like, you know, we got them all here. What do we have, a pediatrics church or something? They must have dug them all out. Must be running the ambulance services over time. Boy, and I got that pie in the oven. My goodness. Won't he ever get done? You know, can't he just zip them through a little bit faster? Jesus doesn't have to take all that time. And you're sitting like this. Well, that's the opposite. When we're sitting this way, or just not caring, daydreaming about what's going to happen, when we're not caring and praising the Lord and really believing that Jesus is present, and that Jesus is healing, and we want him to, then there isn't love. And the community isn't really expressing a sign. The priest is up there, but he's speaking for himself. He's not speaking for the church. And the priest is supposed to speak for the church. He's the sacrament of the church, and the church is the sacrament of Jesus. That's often why there isn't as much anointing. There's something there's something tragic going on. I use the example of the rheostat, how we're walking through life and where there's just not enough light and we're stumbling all over. And yet we have a switch on the wall. And, you know, there's a lamp up here with 5,000 watts. It'll blind us, it's that bright. But we've got the rheostat set to 2 watts over here, and it's far too little. And that's what's happening with this sacrament, without any doubt. You know, the power of Jesus, just unbelievable. This is the resurrection power of Jesus touching people through the oil. That's a sign of Jesus coming in and touching them and praying for healing. People ought to be getting up and walking. We're supposed to be bringing the dead back to life. The early church did. Jesus did. And he told us we're going to do greater things than he did. That's one of the signs, you know, this Abbot David just asked, to show how little faith we have. When's the last time we brought a dead person back to life? When's the last time we thought we were supposed to? When's the last time we ever prayed to? Well, I wouldn't pray for that, because if they've died, they're with God. That's a little bit different. But I mean, just to show we have that power. That particular one I wouldn't want. If they died and they're in the peace of God, great. You know, that's what the Father made them for. But short of that, right on the point of death, when's the last time we've expected someone terminally ill to be bouncing down the streets? And these miracles are happening. A doctor friend of mine was a great scoffer, an alcoholic, was prayed over. And 5 teeth of his were filled. And it's just so great. You know, never saw a dentist, filled on the spot. Gold fillings. These things happen. You know, God can do whatever he wants. We don't believe it. Now, you know, he had them to prove it. Yeah, and, you know, when they have the x-rays, too, to prove, that's even stranger. There's no limiting the power of God. And God loves and he cares for you. Many of us might believe that God might care for someone great enough to heal them, but that he'd care enough for me. But all you got to have is grace like the mustard seed. And see, our belief is important. The church's faith is important. There's this fabulous miracle where Jesus is preaching. There's a big crowd. 4 men come carrying a paralytic. They carry him up to the roof. They can't get him through the door, and they lower him down. Then the line in Mark and Matthew. Jesus, seeing their faith, not his faith, heals the man. If the individual being prayed over and anointed doesn't have enough faith, but the community does, that's why I say it hurts me to see the attitude on people in the pew so often. And the community believes enough, Jesus is going to heal. If we're willing to swallow that person and take responsibility for him. Why should Jesus heal some of our elderly of some of their pains and prolong their life, since we don't want to give them anything to do in our community? Why should Jesus add better health onto their life in another 10 years to be spent alone watching television, when we as a community don't want to involve them with us at all? Jesus would want to heal them, would want their life, would want to give them a mission on this earth, but we're blocking off that mission. We don't believe that he'll do it, and we don't want them healed anyway. We want them prayed for. We'd like to see some great Shazams so we can look better than First Baptist or maybe, you know, Methodist down the street. Hey, look, we're healing, buddy. What's going on in your place? But that isn't the way Jesus does it. If we love, he'll love. His love will be unleashed in our midst. And boy, his mission is healing. So when there isn't healing, there isn't Jesus living vibrantly enough. Body, soul, and spirit. We got the spirit. It's happening on the soul level. It's happening more and more. Let's let it start happening on the body level. Let's commit ourselves. See, it happened with me. I told you how I haven't had a good illness in a year and a half. I think I just had my second lousy little flush with it, these 2 days of chills. You know, I went a good 103 fever. Jesus comes in, body, soul, and spirit, you know, and touches me. My body's healthier. As we're at peace within ourselves, our bodies will be healthier. This is certain.